On Tuesday, the priests of the diocese gathered with our bishop, and we were celebrating the beginning of the Year of Mercy, this great, extraordinary year of Jubilee that our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has called. And we began, very fittingly, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, because Mary, the Mother of Mercy, was able to bring the certainty of salvation to us in the person of her Son, Jesus Christ. And there's many things going on in this Year of Mercy, many, many things. But I think it behooves us to look at the Gospel through that lens of mercy, to be able to say, how is it that God speaks to us in our day? Because when John the Baptist came, people heard of him, and they were filled with expectation. They were looking for something. We're all looking for something. But people can look for something that's not very realistic. People can fill their life with delusion and illusion. Isn't that true? You can go on for years, you know, suffering under false illusions, or you can just be a deluded person. And so they were looking, and they weren't entirely sure what they were looking for. Isn't that true for you? Isn't that true for me? Sometimes I know what I'm looking for, and sometimes I don't. But you're looking for something. The heart, the human heart, is made to be able to be filled. My heart is yearning for you, O Lord, as St. Augustine said in his famous autobiography. So they were looking, and they were filled with this expectation, but they were confused about it. Heck, they were confused even when it came to Jesus himself. People were saying, is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one that's going to be the answer to my needs? Is this the one that is going to answer all of my yearning? And he said to them, I'm preparing you for who is to come. But in that preparing, he said, we have to do several things. And the one thing we have to do is to seek counsel, to be able to say, seek out wisdom. Seek out that which is going to fulfill you. Other people will tell you, this is the way to get filled up. This is the way to be answered. This is the way to finally find what it is that you're yearning for. I don't have to tell you about consumerism. We're in the middle of the Christmas season coming up. Come on. I don't have to tell you, too, about how easy it is to have people fill up their lives with everything from drugs to sex to booze or whatever it is that's on the next shelf. You know that, and I know that. Seek good counsel. We just had our confirmations in the parish a few weeks ago. You know, when I speak to those young people, I always say, seek good advice, but be willing to give good advice, too. Seek good advice and be willing to give good advice, not just natural advice, but the advice that you have prayed over. And you need to pray over seeking good advice to be willing to hear what it is that may not be so easy to hear. Because that's the second part of those people who came to John the Baptist. They were there to be reconciled. And they were there to be reconciled in a very definite way. They were baptized, their sins washed away, as was done before the second coming or the first coming of the Lord, in the best way possible to seek forgiveness. They were baptized, but they said, well, yes, my sins have been forgiven, but I'm still the same guy in a lot of ways. What then must I do? That's the old translation. What then must I do? And that's true, and we hear that question again and again throughout the Gospels. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The young man said when he ran up and knelt before the Lord. What must I do? Because I'm here. You're there. You're wherever you are in your life. What do you have to do to inherit eternal life? And it's interesting, you know, John the Baptist didn't say, you just turn around and be like me. Get out there in the desert and wear camel hair and eat locusts and wild honey. No, he didn't say that at all. In fact, he said, stay put. Stay put. He said to these people, most of whom were not wealthy people, they were ordinary, down-to-earth, rather poor people, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. It's pretty basic. He said even to the tax collectors, some of the most hated people in the whole country, he didn't say, leave your job, you lousy parasites, you servants of the Roman Empire. He said instead, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Everybody knows you need taxes. Now, there's a stunning announcement for you, I'm sure, today. But nobody likes paying them, right? But he said, do what you're supposed to do. Take no more than the amount prescribed for you. And soldiers who were like policemen, soldiers who were in the pay of the hated Roman Empire, he didn't say, walk away from it because you've compromised yourself. He said, no. He said, instead, don't extort any money from anyone by threats or false accusations. Be satisfied with your own wages. Because everybody knew that soldiers were experienced in shaking down anybody that got in their way. Where are you? God is probably not calling you to go off to be a missionary in the Northwest Territories or Nunavut. Probably not. Some very few, yes, but probably not. Where are you right now at school? Where are you right now in the midst of your families? Where are you right now in your jobs? You may be happy in those jobs, you may not, but God still called you to be there. You may be happy in that family, or you may not, but God's called you to be there. And God is not saying, leave. God's saying, where you are, follow through with the plan of God where you are. That's reconciliation. Reconciliation is being able to live out the good habits that are necessary. The good habits. That's what virtues are. To be able to fulfill God's plan where you are. To be able to be a person who can do small things faithfully, diligently, and with reverence. You say with reverence. Reverence is for the churches. That's true. It's a good thing to be reverent in the church. And when we're not, doesn't that drive you crazy? But we're talking about being reverent before God at all times. Many of you know about Madonna House. And Catherine de Hewick Doherty was one of the founders of Madonna House. She was a very wealthy, wealthy Russian. She came from the, I wouldn't say nobility, but close to the nobility. And her father was a very wealthy man. They had the palace in St. Petersburg. But he was also, he and his wife were very devout people. And she tells the story of whenever the beggars would come to the doors, he would always want to, he and his wife would always want to go to the door to personally give them something. All of the beggars that would come to the doors of all these, you know, huge wealthy palaces. And the way that the beggars were always announced, he said, remember that that person that's coming to beg of you is Jesus Christ himself. So the servants got into the habit of announcing it like that. So they were having some cocktail party, and Catherine was about 14, and so it was her first cocktail party, and they were all standing around, and the butler came up to her father and said, sir, Jesus Christ is at the door, whereupon one of the guests dropped his martini glass, you know, in shock. But Jesus is at the door. Jesus is at the door. What Francis is calling us to be able to realize is we are called to be agents of mercy for everyone who comes to our door. That's why one of the things that is preeminent in this extraordinary year of Jubilee is a door. At St. Peter's, they close the door, and it's only open during these big years of Jubilee, of mercy. And so they'll open it with great fanfare tomorrow. In our cathedral, the central door when you walk into the cathedral was closed for several weeks, and it's going to be open tomorrow at a mass in the afternoon. And it's a chance for us to remember that we're called to come through the narrow door, but that door that is always open. Maybe many people don't believe that door is open. Maybe many people believe that that door is shut because of their own sins, their own failures, our own problems, and our own sins. But it's not. The door, which is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the gate of the sheepfold, is always open. And the way that people will come to know that is through ourselves, as we can be able to be agents of mercy. But it takes humility to be an agent of mercy. It really does. John was an example of humility. As we heard in those readings of Advent, right? Every valley shall be exalted and every hill made low. John considered himself a valley. But a valley to be filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. And you may consider yourself a valley, but we are called to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to be raised up so that our expectations are not illusions, but our expectations are such that we can rejoice in who and what we know, Jesus Christ himself. We know that Christ has come among us. And in this time of Advent, we are called again and again to remember, to be raised up from our valleys, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be true and lasting agents of mercy. A fitting thing to be able to have for this Sunday. A Sunday when we're called to rejoice because we know what the future can and will be if we allow Christ to be in our lives. I'd like to finish with this special, very scriptural prayer of Francis. Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us to be merciful like the Heavenly Father and have told us that whoever sees you sees him. Show us your face and we will be saved. Your loving gaze freed Zacchaeus and Matthew from being enslaved by money, the adulteress and Mary Magdalene from seeking happiness only in created things. It made Peter weep after his betrayal and assured paradise to the repentant thief. Let us hear, as if addressed to each one of us, the words you spoke to the Samaritan woman, if you know the gift of God. You are the face of the invisible Father, of the God who manifests his power above all by forgiveness and mercy. Let the church be your visible face in the world, its Lord risen and glorified. You will that your ministers should also be clothed in weakness so that they might feel compassion for those in ignorance and error. Let everyone who approaches them feel sought after, loved, and forgiven by God. Send your Spirit and consecrate every one of us by its anointing, so that the Jubilee of Mercy may be a year of grace from the Lord, and your church, with renewed enthusiasm, may bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to captives and the oppressed, and restore sight to the blind. We ask this of you, Lord Jesus, through the intercession of Mary, Mother of Mercy, you who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.